Gail, the first thing that comes to mind when I think of your artwork are the pet portraits. How did that interest begin?
Actually, it started from the work that I did with my students. I teach with Education for the Arts at the Kalamazoo Institute of Arts. We meet early in the mornings. And a couple years ago was my first year doing this, and Ken Freed, who's a local artist and oil painter, and he's taught for many, many years. He was a visiting artist, and he introduced this project. And so I was painting along with my kids because I hadn't painted probably since I was in college, if that, in oil. I chose to do my rescue pit bull, Mia, and did a 30 by 40 painting during that time and absolutely fell in love with the process of oil painting. And I just kept doing more and more animals. And I did this for a couple years, and I'm hooked. I just can't seem to get away from the animals. So that's how it started.
So is it more the oil painting or the animals, or both intertwined?
I think it's both for sure. And I'm beginning to do some regular, you know, human portraits now too. I'm doing a project. I wrote a grant before COVID, a grant with the Arts Council to do a blended narrative, which is doing portraits of my family and the interactions between my family. My husband and I met and married later in life, and so we brought two families together, and we have family members who are not biological to us, but they are in the will, so to say. So they are, you know, they are our family. And so, you know, we're bringing in different cultures, different ideas, different backgrounds. And so how that all works together, you know, is something that I'm addressing in these paintings.
So I wonder, do you find humans more challenging than animals in terms of painting, or?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. Right now, at least. There's something, I've always had pets, and so, like, for instance, painting a dog or a cat is, it's almost like I know how it works because I've pet them and I've been around them, and
unlike humans.
Right. I don't pet my humans. but you know, I do. I think I'm more comfortable with it. Plus it's fun to do texture. Now I did I'm doing a online workshop with an artist out of New York, Jennifer Gennari, and she is an animal pet portrait artist. And she's phenomenal, and I've been following her for a couple of years, and now I'm learning from her. And we had an assignment of doing a gorilla, and we had to do the same gorilla four times. So it was, and then shorter increments of time that could be put into it. I understand gorillas now. So
four times same pose, or four times
the same exact picture.
Oh, interesting.
Yes, yes. And
so how did you see the changes over the four portraits that you did?
I became more confident.
Okay.
You know, and it's my brushstroke became bolder. And I actually, my last painting that I did in 3 hours, I enjoyed so much more than the painting that took me closer to eight. And there's more energy, more life.
Oh, sure. We enjoy more what we do better, right?
Right. And I think even with humans, it's going to be, once I really, you know, I've been doing the pets for a while, but starting next month, I'm really pouring myself into doing the human portraits. And I'm going to do several quick studies to get myself ready. It's just a process.
Yeah.
You know, and even for my students, you know, I try to encourage them to keep doing it over and over and over. You know, you'll get it.
You were a public school art teacher for 12 years, but now, right, as you mentioned, you teach at KIA.
This is through Education for the Arts that I teach at Kalamazoo Institute of Arts. I am offering a class coming up at the KIA for adults in paper mache that's coming up this spring. But I teach every morning from 7:45 a.m. until 9:20. I have kids from all over the county that are through Kalamazoo Public Schools and some of the private schools that come in. And it's an advanced art class. There's a whole different range of abilities, but it's basically, the thing that they have in common is they have a passion for art and learning.
Yeah.
And So we have, I have the best job in the world. I have visiting artists that come in and teach them what they do, and I facilitate and make sure that everybody has what they need, and I get to learn alongside them. So we're doing clay and jewelry and sculpture and photography, and I mean, it's just the gamut, and it's just an amazing experience for the students who participate in it, and then and for myself, I'm always learning.
I like that, that the teacher is learning alongside the students, and art especially. I think that's a lifelong education, isn't it?
It is. I write grants for the purpose of taking workshops and learning more about everything. This is right now, this oil painting is something that I'm focusing on because it takes that much time and energy to learn it. The more I do it, the less I seem to know, you know, or realize that I seem to know.
You have something of a business yourself. It's called Cultivating Creativity. Mm-hmm. Leading restorative art activities at the Kalamazoo Juvenile Home. Tell us about that. That sounds fascinating.
Yeah. So when I left the Kalamazoo Public Schools, I started working for Education for the Arts part-time, going into the schools and teaching. And there's a program called Alternative Arts, which goes into some of the alternative schools and schools like Woods Edge and Valley Center. And so I had started doing that. And one summer, I was just interested. I'd worked upstairs. So at the juvenile home, there is an upstairs, which is where they have the alternative school. And then they have the downstairs, which is actually the juvenile home where the kids are. And they're there overnight, you know, they stay there for periods of time. So I did the upstairs one summer and just really enjoyed the energy of the kids and the creativity. And the staff is amazing. The teachers and staff that work in the school just really care about the kids and their success and the choices that they're making and helping them. And so I felt like this is a place that I'd like to do more. At the time, Adam Denopoulos was the principal, and he basically wrote me in to become somebody who would come in, and I do interdisciplinary arts with the teachers. I work with them. We come up with projects together. It's connected to the work that they're doing in the classroom, but sometimes I'm just coming in there because they just need to paint or they just need to work in clay. And it is rewarding. I always feel like I'm welcome there. The staff is amazing. The new principal, Laura Draper, has been so supportive. And it's a great place to be and work. And they're just kids. They're kids. And so they deserve to have the best education possible.
That's really reassuring to hear, because I think in places that has been a kind of a forgotten population. And If we're going to talk about rehabilitation and helping people avoid a life that goes astray, that's the time to do it.
Exactly. And I have students who I have one that's in my mind right now that I've known him for a long time, and I met up with him there. And I got to do independent study with him, and he went to college, and he does his art, and he got it together. And he told me before he left he would get it together, and he did. You know, and so there's just this really good feeling. They're not always success stories, but when they are, you know, it really, you know that you were a part of that success story. And it is a feel good for sure.
And was art a part of his major, or it's continued to be a side interest for this particular success story?
I think for him, it goes along with what he does. You know, and like all of us, as artists, we oftentimes, I would, you know, for myself, I spend half the time teaching and half the time doing my own work. But even like with these pet paintings, I take commissions. So I don't know if I would call it work or not, because I enjoy it too much. But I have, you know.
That's kind of unfortunate that we think of work that way. It has to hurt to be work.
But I, you know, it helps to pay for my materials for me to do my thing. It helps to pay for my studio space at Park Trades. It helps to pay for, you know, classes that I choose to take. And so, you know, I'm able to support this habit of mine, but it is who I am, you know, to create always has always been. I knew from the time I was 4 years old that I was an artist. I can remember thinking that, you know, at a very young age that I'm an artist. So it never changed. It's just always that I work in a lot of different mediums. I've never really stayed in one spot. It's just not the way I do things, you know.
To revisit that phrase, restorative art activities, I wondered if you could explain that, the restorative part.
So for me, when I'm thinking about a project that's restorative, I think about something that is personal, that they can work out, where it helps them work out whatever it is that comes to mind that we're doing. I will ask questions to prompt. You know, it might be think about a time in your past that where you felt good, or envision a place that you love being. What are the smells that you smell? What do you hear? And you know, we do some brainstorming and write it all down. And then I'll lead them through some different activities to create something from that, whether it be a painting or play or collage. It's not always like that, but that's just one thing that came to mind. We did with Education for the Arts, we put together a restorative project called the Rope Project. And we go into schools, and of course with COVID we haven't been able to do this, but we had a rope making machine that was actually made. We met with Paul Mergen, who collects ropes and understands ropes, and he had retired from Western years ago, but he came in and gave us a workshop on rope making. And so we take this machine, this beautiful machine that was crafted by a carpenter who just made it into like a piece of art in its own. And the kids make a rope and they tie their stories into the rope. And we talk about how we're all connected and how our stories are connected. And to me, that would be a great example of something that's restorative, where you become part of something bigger outside of yourself and you realize you're not alone.
That kind of answers already, I think, in part at least, the next question I had about the healing powers of art in the kind of teaching that you do. I'm sure you observe that all the time.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, art is emotional. At least it is for me. And so I always look at when I'm teaching, when I bring up a project, I want it to be authentic. I want it to be part of who they are rather than trying to tell them what to do. I like to see, you know, I encourage failure because the only way you can grow is to fail. And so, you know, and try it something else or try it again. And so, you know, even when I hate grading. It's not something I like to do because there's no way to grade someone's experience.
Yeah.
So as long as they continue to work, they could have failed everything that they've done. But if they grew from it, then I consider that an A. You know, I consider that top notch.
You know, when school budgets get cut, when educational budgets get hit, arts are often the first to go. And I wonder how you feel about that.
Yeah, the idea that it goes first, I'm hoping and I believe, you know, being here in Kalamazoo, we have been very fortunate, even, you know, when I was in the public school system and now with Education for the Arts, there's a lot of local support to make the arts as something that's just very important, you know, in our community.
Yeah.
I don't know what it would be like to be in another community where it isn't important. I would have to leave, I think, you know.
Yeah.
Because it is valued here. Not by everybody, but I do see it in the schools, at least in the, you know, in this area, that I do see that they recognize how important it is for students to have an outlet, have something else. I think the thing that was hardest to see is when, you know, we have all the testing and everything, and the you know, expectation for people to rise to the same level, and we're all at different levels. We all have different backgrounds and different life experiences that sometimes hold us back. You know, trauma is a huge problem. And, you know, I see art as a way to help students work through their trauma, to build confidence and resilience. And so it's really important that it be supportive. And so I'm you know, I'm fortunate in the work that I do that it is supported. I always feel like I'm being heard, and honestly, I don't have to fight too hard to get to do what I do get to do. It's seems to be welcomed, you know. So, but yeah, it's so important, especially with everything going on, especially right now, for crying out loud, the kids need to make art, you know.
I completely agree. I'm glad you're out there helping them along that healing path. Thank you so much, Gail, for sharing some of your experience with us today.
Thank you.